Thanks for joining me on the Manager Mojo podcast, Steve Caldwell. Before we begin with today's episode, let's recognize somebody who's doing it right.
Oh, I feel good. I knew that I would not. I feel good. I knew that I would not. So good, so good. I got you.
Oh! Today, I want to recognize my good friends at Evernote. Evernote is an awesome program for productivity. I use it to store all of my personal notes, and I love the fact that I can carry it with me everywhere I go, and I've always got it on all of my mobile devices, so it makes note-taking extremely easy. I highly recommend it to you. If you aren't using Evernote, start thinking about it. It's pretty awesome. So, Evernote, thank you for doing it right. Hello and welcome everyone to the Manager Mojo podcast. This is Steve Caldwell, and I'm so excited today that we are going to have an awesome guest. We have Pamela Reichman with us, and Pamela is the author of Stiletto Network, Inside the Women's Power Circles That Are Changing the Face of Business. We're going to have a great time discussing her book, and guys, I want you to understand you're going to have a lot to learn today. This is not just for the ladies, but Pamela has written for the New York Times, Financial Times, Washington Post, Fortune, CNN Money, the New York Observer, and many others. She's been featured widely in the press and has appeared on The Today Show, Rock Center with Brian Williams, Good Day New York, Bloomberg TV, and MSNBC, where she's a contributor. She's also been in other publications such as Chicago Tribune, New York Post, U.S. News and World Report, Forbes, and many, many more. She's a sought-after speaker, and we're really honored that she took her time today to share with us. Before she became a journalist, she performed internal strategy work for Merrill Lynch's Global Markets and Investment Banking Group and for Goldman Sachs and, Equities Financial and Strategic Management Group. She earned her AB in Comparative Literature from Princeton University and her MA in Journalism from New York University, and is fluent in French and proficient in Italian. And oh my goodness, isn't she really... talented, and unfortunately, she's going to be interviewed by a guy that can barely speak English, but that's okay. We're going to have a good
doubt day. That is not true.
Pamela, welcome to the Manager Mojo podcast. We're so glad to have you.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we're going to have some fun today, and if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about what's happening fun in your life and what are you up to these days before we get into the book.
Well, it's interesting because I tell everybody that I have lived this story, the story of the book, as I was writing it. And I saw what all of these women were out there doing for each other, moving each other forward in their lives and careers, and they ended up doing it for me as well. So through the book, I ended up meeting a bunch of TV and movie producers. And so now I am doing work that I never expected to be doing, and my career has sort of gone off in this direction, you know, things that I never thought to dream of. So I have written a couple screenplays now, and in addition to sort of continuing to do book promotion and stuff around Stiletto Network, I've also launched into this new exciting area. So we'll see how it goes, but it's really fun and I'm loving the work. Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I know that'll be an awful lot of fun for you. So very cool. Well,
thank you.
As a little background here, this podcast, as well as me, I'm very committed to growing all people, both men and women, in the workplace. But I have to say, I've always had in all of my career a special place for helping women succeed in the workplace. And as life would have it, I have two daughters. I never had any sons. And now I have three granddaughters, Pamela. So I'm surrounded by women, and I want them to know how powerful they can be, as well as men and how we relate to women properly. So just share with us, if you don't mind, what do you really mean when you talk about the Stiletto Network? What does that really mean for those of us that are trying to relate to it?
Yeah. Well, this started for me back in 2010 when I attended a women's conference in California, and I started to hear about these dinner groups, and then from totally unrelated women, professional women, women from their 20s to their 70s. And what I unearthed was an underground movement of women's dinner groups and networking circles. Now, most of them have no more than 10 women, but in aggregate, they number in the tens, if not hundreds of thousands of women nationwide. I found some globally too, but even in this nation, that many women doing the same thing at this moment in history. And you laugh and say, okay, women going to dinner together, you know, that's not nationwide news, right? that's sort of what we've always done. But what I started to do as I found these groups, again, from women in their 20s to their 70s, women in all industries and in all age groups doing the same thing, I started to follow the money. And it turns out that all of these women are generating billions of dollars of transactions and corporate board seats attained and companies founded and funded, all as a result of this underground movement. You know, this totally organic grassroots movement of women's dinner groups.
Very
cool.
So it
is a powerful nationwide trend.
Very cool. So women are gaining, they're actually meeting together and they're talking about business as well as personal. Would you consider this maybe mentoring to one another or counseling, coaching? How would you describe it?
All of the above. So what's kind of interesting, I mean, again, most of these groups are really rooted in true friendship, true loyalty, and trust. And so I kind of jokingly tell everyone it's a love story disguised as a business story because it really is rooted in friendship. But interestingly, you know, as opposed to sort of, you know, on some level people have said, is this just, you know, the female version of the old boys network? And in some ways, you know, that we have things in common, and in some ways it's quite different. So what I found is among a lot of the groups, what they had in common is many of them are cross-industry. So they will bring together women from tech and media and finance and retail, you know, you name it. And all of these women coming together in their dinner groups then end up providing, you know, intel, guidance, making strategic introductions for each other, whatever each woman needs to succeed. But what's interesting about this, you know, they absolutely do mentor each other. Yes, it is, you know, formal networking. But what's different about this, again, from sort of the old boys network, is a lot of the men, because they didn't necessarily have to look outside of their industries to succeed. You know, they could hang out with a lot of men, you know, say in finance or in law. Women have looked outside of their industry at a time in history when there is more innovation taking place than ever, and those cross-industry relationships are incredibly valuable.
Very interesting. You know, you're bringing up a key point, and I kind of think of it as silo thinking. I've seen a change from people being locked into their own silo just because of the changing job environment and the changing technology environment in the world. There, you have to be able to relate to companies outside of your own particular discipline today, don't you?
That's 100% right. I mean, I think, you know, companies of all sizes, from, you know, global behemoths to, you know, real startups, are striving for global wide-ranging insight. And what's interesting in these groups is, like, what is the best way to get global wide-ranging insight? Well, having your confidants, you know, your peer group, your advisors, as subject matter experts in all of these other fields. And so each time one of the women is having some issue, you know, she's surrounded by people who may have had, you know, similar experiences, but are drawing on, possibly a different skill set, you know, a different toolkit from whatever industry they're in, and they can bring that insight and possibly that innovation to each other's careers, to each other's lives, and, you know, to each other's varying fields. So absolutely. I think none of us can afford to stay stuck in a particular silo, oblivious to developments in other fields. You know, we all have to look outside to become the best leaders we can.
Absolutely. I think we learn from one another. And, you know, what would you consider from your research in looking at these small groups? What did the women involved with them consider to be maybe a couple of their greatest benefits in participating in things like this?
Well, interestingly, I mean, again, these groups were totally organic. They really did not, it wasn't that women were coming together with some, you know, glorified goals. They were going to get 20% of women on corporate boards by 2020. It really wasn't anything like that. They came together because, you know, two women may have met at an event and really liked each other, but didn't have the reason to talk. And they said, let's just go out for dinner. And then each one of them would bring another woman that the other one didn't know. And because the idea is to expand your horizons and increase your sphere of influence, right? Not to draw from the same pool or silo, as you were saying, you know, but to actually get outside of yourself
mm-hmm.
and to think more broadly about the world. And I think what I found is that is exactly what these groups have done for women. So they have allowed women to make great leaps, you know, across industries, you know, instead of thinking like, oh, okay, I'm a lawyer, I work only in this field. You know, suddenly that woman, because of her skills, would find herself working for a media company. Or, you know, in many cases, women have come together and because of this, you know, because they're just exchanging ideas, they've ended up making strategic investments or even launching new companies together because their skill sets are complementary. And, you know, because they see a market for whatever they are producing, because women actually now control, you know, what is it, 80% of household spending.
Absolutely.
You know, so they're coming upon, they're developing these innovations and ideas together because of their different abilities and because of their different skill sets. But, I mean, some of the sort of, you know, some of the big accomplishments that I talk about in the book is, you know, as a result of these groups, again, totally organic, women have created the most downloaded app in the history of Warner Brothers and launched the single most successful fundraising pilot in the history of the Red Cross, you know, from women donors, and joined the founding team of one of the fastest growing startups in history and steered it toward a $1 billion IPO, and also, you know, overseen the largest high yield bond offering of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is all as a result of these little dinner groups of women coming together and exchanging ideas.
Well,
it's an incredibly powerful force.
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's those connections and conversations based upon a friendship that I think allow you to see openings that you might not have seen otherwise, doesn't it?
That's absolutely right. And also, it allow each woman to see opportunities for each other before the woman might see them for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like me, I never even thought I thought I was a journalist, right? And
right.
It wasn't until someone said, hey, great with dialogue, maybe you want to end up writing for movies and TV. You know, that wasn't even something I thought to hope for. And I saw, you know, I see it happening in my own life, but I've also seen it happen for all of these other women.
Very cool. You know, I looked in your book. There's a couple of things in here I just would like to bring out for our leaders to begin to think about. You know, you've mentioned it a couple of times already. You said that talked about the old boys network, and it said that here's a quote. It says, "One thing the old boys network understood was that it wasn't always about people at your level. They understood the important thing was to bring the next generation along." This is a quote from Edie Wiener. And
mm-hmm.
So my point, I just wanted to really kind of ask you a question. Does your research also show that really, I happen to believe today that really men are not doing those things very well anymore? I don't see them really networking. What I'm seeing with clients, and I'm just curious if you've seen this as well, people are, and especially men, have gotten so busy that they're really not doing this type of group networking and mentoring that maybe once happened 30 years ago. I don't see it as much today. Did your research give us any indication along that?
I mean, I think that's true because we all have our heads in our phones,
uh-huh.
right?
Exactly.
I mean, I think, and one of the things that I've realized is, you know, at looking at these dinner groups, they all have, I mean, they all use technology to sort of amplify their voices
mm-hmm.
to create a world in which there are more visible females. But they also all have a very strong in-person component. I think to build those real relationships that go the distance, that allow you to see opportunities for each other before each person might see them for themselves, you actually really have to know what makes a person tick. You have to have a really good grasp of their skills and their abilities and their you know, what makes them passionate and excited. And so I think that that is something that, that everyone has struggled with.
But yeah.
I think what Edie was talking about, and I love that quote in the book, was really interesting, which is the fact that, you know, historically, when I was finding these groups, I was trying to figure out why so many of the groups were cross-industry, you know, why they brought together women from these different fields, and also why, you know, how these women had found each other. And historically, what I found is that working women didn't have the camaraderie that men had. You know, they didn't go on the hunting and the fishing weekends or golf games, or, you know, there was no I scratch your back, you scratch mine, because women were running home to take care of their families. You know, on weekends they were taking kids to sports or birthday parties, you know, where the guys would sort of socialize more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the glass ceiling continued in part because women didn't have access to the male networks. You know, and we're pulled in so many directions that we had yet to build our own. And then, frankly, there just wasn't, you know, a critical mass of working women for a long time. You know, now what we're looking at is finally, after 40 years of women in the workforce, there are enough women in positions of power or aspiring to positions of power that they can take more risks, you know, that they can share information and resources with the gal in the office next to her, you know, mm-hmm. without worrying that one of you is going to get pushed out because you're just the token, right?
Right.
And then you can shine a light on that talented up-and-comer and mentor and sponsor her, because she's not going to automatically knock you off your perch. I think, you know, historically, men did a good job of this because, you know, they were all going to move up together. You know, it was I scratch your back, you scratch mine, again. But, you know, women couldn't do that. But now I think it is happening among women more often, to your point and your question, than it is among men, in part because I think, you know, stereotypically, if you want to bring in, you know, the hunter-gatherer thing, women have always been social and collaborative creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And so now those skills or the gifts that we have historically applied to our other endeavors, right, be they the Girl Scouts or the carpool or the PTA, you know, that collaboration is now incredibly useful in business, and I think is a strategic advantage for women right now, you know, potentially over men. Not, and by the way, I have three sons, so I love men. There's no way, you know, there's no way I could have written a man-hating book. But I think that what women are bringing to the table, both the skills and the sort of methodology, is really, really effective right now in business.
It is. It's very interesting because I totally concur that the social focus of women, I think, is a real strength. And the more they use that, the more they empower themselves to take advantage of that, I think the better that they themselves feel about themselves and the more achievements that they have. You know, I have the benefit of, you know, a lot of years of watching this evolve. And my wife was a senior executive in the banking industry, and so I've watched that same type of thing that, yeah, women didn't have the type of access that they have today, and so to me it's all about talent. The talented person, give them an opportunity to achieve whatever they want to achieve. And I see that anyone, I don't know, maybe I'm misreading the book, but it seems to me that what these ladies have done is created what Napoleon Hill called a mastermind.
Yeah, yes. It is. It is. It's, you know, the fact is, you know, 10 heads are better than one, right? Whenever you're trying, especially when they're experts, when they're all talented. And I think, you know, what these women all have in common, interestingly, as opposed to sort of just, you know, groups that are randomly assembled, they are all sort of, you know, there's this incredible filter. They are all handpicked because they are motivated, they are kind, they are smart, they want to make the world a better place, and there's a certain generosity of spirit. You know, when I say that it's a love story, but I think there's an understanding that we are better together than apart. And if we sort of open our minds and open our, you know, investment opportunities and open our, you know, our Rolodexes to each other and often our wallets as well, that we will all move forward together much more quickly.
Well, and there's nothing
and
but
it
benefit.
It is the mastermind group, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing but benefit both to women and to society in general. I believe that businesses really need that outside input at times in order to change from where they are. So, how did you when you looked at all of this? You actually used a term that I really was not familiar with, but I think it's a great term. You called them girlpreneurs. And I love that term. And so tell our audience, what do you mean by girlpreneur?
Well, I mean, you know, I said it in kind of a cheeky way, right?
I like that. I like cheeky.
and you know, what we have going on right now in this country that I think we have a number of different forces that are conspiring to make these groups incredibly powerful. You know, finally, again, after 40 years of women in the workforce, we have enough women who have risen to positions of power and who now have their own self-made wealth and who are really thinking about legacy, who want to invest in the next generation and who view it as their personal responsibility to move the needle, you know, in ways that, you know, maybe, you know, some corporate, a lot of these women started their, you know, their careers on the forefront of feminism, and they thought that the world was going to be completely different by the time that they were sort of wrapping it up. And the world maybe isn't completely different, not in every industry. And so you have a lot of women who are reaching down and who have deeper pockets and are able to invest at the same time you have, and here's gets to the girlpreneurs, all of these young women, an explosion of young women who are starting what they hope to be often high-growth tech-based businesses. You know, and what they are looking at opportunities. They are seeing opportunities because they're seeing a need that they have in their personal life, and they are meeting the needs of themselves and their friends at a time when women have more access and more disposable income than we've ever had. So you have these women at the top who are that now investing in the businesses of these young, you know, younger women entrepreneurs, these girlpreneurs. And what we have is that the generations, for the first time in history, the generations are coming together, and lots of money is changing hands.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing.
And so I've seen this. I love trend stories. I love pattern recognition. And I've seen this over and over again, you know, behind so many of these younger women, these girlpreneurs, these young female entrepreneurs, are older women who, you know, who made it the hard way, right? Who climbed the corporate ladder and who are now using their funds to help slingshot these younger women to success. It's really exciting.
It's very cool. You know, I've seen a lot of people that really, they've always thought that, and this is men as well as women, there was always this false security about, look, I have to know everything in my job. And I think one of the greatest benefits of these types of groups is that you don't have to know it all. You can let your hair down, so to speak, and just be yourself.
100%. And I think, you know, and I think knowing it all, I think that there's been this huge shift from, you know, I'm a huge fan of, you know, access to information, right? But the fact is we are now, like, there's been a huge deluge of information.
Absolutely.
All we have is information, and information does not equal knowledge. And so I think that what is more valuable now is knowing where to go and how to get the answers rather than just, you know, expecting anyone to have the answers at their fingertips. Because, you know, with technology, the answers are changing so quickly. You know,
absolutely.
That having access to the experts is arguably more important than sort of pretending to be an expert yourself, right?
Right, exactly. Pamela, you know, you mentioned trends. So what do you believe is next for both men and women in regard to this research that you're seeing really just kind of explode right in your face here? I think it's just wonderful to see. But what do you kind of see next? Where do you see this evolving?
Well, you know, the real thesis of the book, and when I sort of do big public speaking engagements, I say I'm going to start with something kind of bold, which is I think, you know, the next decade is going to see an explosion of female wealth and power. And because we have enough companies being formed right now with female founders and female employees and female investors that, you know, whatever, 80% of startups fail, right? I mean, most of them never get off the ground. But the fact is, if any one of these makes it big, and some of them already have, you know, you have your Gilt Group and your Paperless Post, and, you know, if any one of these makes it big, you are going to have suddenly a lot more money in the hands of women who, and then it has shown that female entrepreneurs are more likely to open their wallets for each other and angel invest and, you know, even invest at sort of the venture capital level once they've been entrepreneurs themselves because they understand the ecosystem.
Right.
So you're going to have, you know, suddenly once the money starts flowing among women, I think it's going to continue to happen. And so I think the world is going to look very different in the next 10 years. And people are going to say, you know, how did this happen? But, I mean, I laugh, but it's happening through dinner groups. You know, this is how it's happening. It's happening for groups of 10. But, you know, what we're looking at right now is this sort of, like we said, this explosion. And it's almost like this massive Venn diagram, all of these interlocking circles. As women use those collaborative skills, as they use their social skills, they fly coast to coast to make those introductions. Hey, when you're in L.A., come sit in on my dinner group. You're going to love these women. You know, who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then suddenly it sparks the next idea and the next new business and the next investment. And, you know, and so on. So, I mean, you know, like that silly hair commercial, but that's what I'm seeing happening. And I also think, I mean, interestingly, this is not about, you know, you said for men too. This is not about, there's no man-hating voice in this book or in this story because it's not something that it's not something I saw and it's not something that I feel. And I think what's actually happening too is that, you know, men are asking for a different way to work.
Right.
And they are finding that working in collaborative teams with women actually allows them to accentuate different qualities, loosen up a little bit, you know, where it's more collaborative, perhaps less competitive. And I think a lot of men, you know, young men in the workforce today grew up with fathers that they never saw, you know, who and divorced families and things like that. And I think a lot what I heard from a number of the men that I interviewed is that they want a different way of life. And that, you know, maybe it's the women's voices who are sort of pushing for it, but the men will actually be the beneficiaries of this as well. You know, my sons will not work the way that my parents worked, you know, like my father worked. It'll be a different life for them.
Very cool. I totally agree. You know, did you see in the trends as well, you mentioned women going to the groups and maybe going from city to city, but one thing that I've noted that's a huge change to me, and especially in the last 10 years, is that I've seen women actually be willing to invest in themselves, in their own education, their own learning, far more than men are doing these days. Did you see that as well?
You know, I absolutely have seen that anecdotally. I don't have any, I don't have any research or data around that. I mean, it would be really interesting to find out, you know, what percentage of students in, you know, the online courses and other students or adult students are women these days. Because I definitely think, anecdotally, I have seen sort of a big trend in sort of self-betterment, you know, among women and sort of a desire and a hunger for learning.
Yeah,
even among the super educated. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see the research either, but I mean anecdotally, as you say, I certainly see it. It's very interesting to me at where we're going in business. I see more both men and women being more entrepreneurial than they were 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I see them taking responsibility, and I think that is a great thing for all of us.
Yeah.
So what would be your advice to, based upon what you've seen, you know, how would you recommend that people take this forward and this information forward? What would they do if you were to say, give me an action item or two that I could take?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, because as I was finding these groups, and also I said living this story as I was writing it, I believe that my goal was not just to identify this powerful nationwide trend, but also to catalyze it, because I found something that was so effective among women, you know, of all different groups. So the first one is, you know, I mean, I talk about a lot of high-powered women in the book, but it's important to remember that they were not all wealthy or accomplished when they started these groups. You know, and in fact, many of the women talk about their stiletto networks like there's some secret recipe. Like, these are the people who made me who I am, who allowed me to take the great leap. You know, and so what I say is, start now. You know, the way that there's no barrier to entry, because this is organic, because this can be what you want it to be. Again, find another person with whom you feel united by values, interests, and ethics, and you bring someone to the table that they don't know, and have them bring someone that you don't know, and then go to dinner together, and then think about, you know, what you can do to help each other. You know, some of these groups often, what they will do, this is sort of the most structured or formal thing, but they systematize asks and offers, you know, because, you know, people get to talking and they're socializing and all this stuff, and you know, you don't want to appear to be too transactional in the interaction, because again, it's social. So one way to neutralize that is that everybody, hey, everybody be quiet for a second. Okay, let's go around the table. You know, what is your short-term goal? You know, what are you dealing with right now, either in your work or your personal life, and how can we put our heads together? How can we help? You know, okay, and then you go around, and it's each person. You know, the other thing is, I say, you know, most of the groups, I think 10 is sort of the magic number in assembling your group, because with 10 people, you have, you know, I'd say 8 or 10. You have enough people with different, you know, skill sets from different backgrounds and different areas of expertise. But you also have, it's intimate enough where you can really share your private, you know, the stuff, your hopes, your fears, your dreams, you know, the stuff that you probably wouldn't want to share in a wider environment, both personal and professional. See, this really does have to be, it's supposed to be a circle of trust, you know, a peer group, a support group, people that you can come to when something is really going wrong for you at work, who can give you, you know, that support and advice. And the sort of lift off that you need, you know, whatever strength you need to solve your problems.
Right.
And I think what's also interesting is, in these groups, there's no singular definition of success. You know, being a CEO isn't necessarily right for all women or men. You know, you could be a writer who works from home, like I am, you know.
Right.
This is not just about getting to the next rung on the ladder. It's actually much more, it's deeper than that. It's about looking at your entire life and saying, what is, you know, who do I want to be? What is the best version of myself, and how can I help, and how can I get there? You know, and I think, so in doing that, you really want to assemble people who are, you know, trusted, kind, have generous spirits, and are interested in moving not just themselves forward, but also their, you know, compatriots in this.
Yeah, so it's...
I can keep going. There's a lot, you know.
No, I get it. I love this. This is good, because what you're saying, I teach that it's not all about you. It's always about the other person. And so if you're leading, and you're leading with thinking about the other person, I think these groups allow you to get outside of yourself and
That's
to look
exactly
at what
right.
somebody else is doing. And in turn, by helping them, you're helping yourself.
That's absolutely right. I mean, it's interesting, because it's almost turning, you know, networking, you know, I say that in quotes, on its head, because many people don't like the term networking, because it feels, you know, it feels like you're trying to shake somebody down, right? That it's actually all about you. But what I found is that the best networkers, the people effective, actually don't think about themselves in these interactions at all. They lead by giving. And it sounds, again, counterintuitive, but it's all of these people who are trying to approach every interaction by being as helpful and useful to others as possible. And then what they found in this sort of blissful karmic way is that people are so grateful to them that they, you know, that it all comes back to them, you know, in manifold ways.
Yeah,
and so,
so
it really is redefining networking to be about, you know, what you can do for others rather than what you can do for yourself.
Well, it's that leading by example and really putting the other person first. There's just no substitute. You can't outgive. That's the bottom line. The more you give, the more you're going to get back.
Yeah, it's true. It's true, and it's having that sort of faith that 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 interaction, you know, even if you don't see the, it's having a very long-term mindset in these groups too. You know, it's not the relationships themselves, even though there's this massive money trail, right? And I really did report it like a business story. You know, I mean, I can prove it. But the relationships themselves are not transactional. There's this fundamental belief that is, you know, common to every single one of these groups that, you know, it's not if I, you know, if I do something today for you that you're going to do something for me tomorrow. You know, it's not putting a dollar in the relationship bank, somebody says in the book, with the intention to withdraw it, you know, some, you know, next week. It's actually this belief that, you know, you are going to, you're sort of committing to actually help these other people in whatever their goals are. And then when you have a need, that they will sort of jump in for you as well. But, you know, one of the things, you know, the other thing about these groups is that they really do, when you're assembling your group, you really do want to think about diversity. You know, this should not be your cabal of best buddies, your college friends, the people you're going to talk to anyway. The idea is to really get outside of your own sphere. And like we said before, expand your horizons, increase your sphere of influence. You know, think about what, you know, what is your most, you know, your greatest effect or your greatest impact on the world.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So, that's
great advice. That's great advice for all of us to take. Pamela, you've given us so many ideas to think about today, and really, I'm positive it's going to help all of us become better leaders in our organizations. I'm sure there are people that would love to connect with you. Tell our listeners what's the best way to keep up with Pamela.
Well, I have a website. It's PamelaReichman.com. It's R-Y-C-K-M-A-N. You can follow me on Twitter, you know, @PamelaReichman. There's also a Stiletto Network Facebook site. It's Stiletto-Network. And I post regularly in all of those, you know, and on Google Plus as well, Pamela Reichman. So yeah. I've been very, very active on social media. So that is a great way to do it.
Awesome. Well, I will make sure that we put this in the show notes. We'll put all of those sites in for everybody so that they can connect with you. And on behalf of the Manager Mojo team, I just want to thank you so much for your contribution to making us all better leaders today.
Thank you. I thank all these amazing women I got to interview for this book. Well, I sure learned a lot.
I want to recommend that all of our listeners pick up a copy of the Stiletto Network, and you're going to learn a lot of things. And I just think it's wonderful to read these inspiring stories. I thank you for bringing them to the world, and on behalf of our audience, I want to wish you the very best in all of your endeavors, and I look forward to hearing successes on your writing as well that you're going to be doing here, the screenplays. That's just very exciting.
Thank you. It is exciting. You know, we'll see. Who knows? But thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, and we appreciate you being a part of the Manager Mojo podcast today.